after another week of conflict, turmoil, and another week in which bitterness and hatred of the extremes in our society threatened the very future of our society and nation. Another week of carnage in the streets of our cities, towns, and homes. Another week of questioning the future and the fear of the unknowns of tomorrow. Another week of dreading the next news flash. Now we have the opportunity to pause and reflect upon our lives. What better place to do it than amidst the quiet wonders of nature and the out of doors? We take this opportunity to live the psalmist words, "Be still and know that I am God." Therefore, we gather to collect our breath and be renewed by God's presence within the splendor and awe of His creation. We are soothed by the songs of the birds, the rustle of the breeze through the trees, the beauty of nature around us. It speaks to us of a life of peace and harmony, a life which we yearn for every day, a life which we pray would enter the crisis of life which we find ourselves. It is essential to have these moments of retreat, away from all the modern communications which controls so much of our lives. During this process of retreat, we are reminded that God's creative process through nature gives hope during the most troubled times. I am reminded that somehow nature reclaims once bloodied and torn landscapes into the places of peace and serenity. Visiting battlefields such as Antietam or Gettysburg, it is difficult to imagine that these landscapes ever saw the horror and carnage of war during which thousands died. But now they lay before us as a landscape of peace and serenity. Nature seems to have been able to restore life beyond the bloody scars which it endured. You know, even within the confines of this landscape here, our property, the land experienced the inhumane practice of slavery. This was a part of an early plantation, the Bethesda Plantation, which owned slaves in order to gain economic wealth. To think that slaves once walked in the fields of this land and worked within the confines of the barn, which is now our church, can be a sobering experience. To think that their tears of enslavement have permeated this ground brings us to the realization that out of their sorrows has come new life so that others may live. Nature has reclaimed the landscape. This reclamation should give us all hope that yesterday is not today, and certainly it is not tomorrow. To try to return to yesterday is to deny the very process of God's creative order, and only spells disaster and death. Therefore, as we sit in the peace and calm of our surroundings of nature, it is incumbent on us to reflect upon how God's creative process and order survives and overcomes destructive experiences of the past. To look upon a woods or any natural landscape, there is the harmony of individual elements which give the experience of wonder, beauty, and awe. No particular element is more important than the other. All are a vital part of the whole experience. It is also important to note that each element of the scene depends upon the other in order to find life. Each tree, each vine, each plant, each blade of grass, each bird, animal, and insect are a vital part of the whole experience. Each is interdependent upon the other for life. This is the harmony of God's creation, and ultimately is the gift of life and beauty. Now, during this time of reflection, it's important to see the lessons of the harmony of nature and light of the scriptures for us in the here and now. Of course, there is Jesus' strong message of God's love is for all people, with no distinction. Even the hated Samaritans were to be accepted and loved. Even the foreigner, the Canaanite woman, daughter, was to be healed. Nobody was to be left out. Everybody was a part. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well destroyed society's distinction founded in prejudice and hatred. Even his last commissioning statement, according to Matthew, was, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." All nations and all people, regardless of our self-taught prejudices and even bigotry, are to be within the love of God's grace. To live a life of hatred and bigotry is to deny the very essence of Jesus' message, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Isaiah also recognized this when he stated, "Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered." In this, Isaiah recognizes that God's love reaches beyond the confines of one's race, one's nation, or one's ethnic origin. Of course, this was somewhat radical for a people who cherished and lived the strict bloodline of their Hebrew heritage. After all, they were the chosen people of God. Now, Isaiah in his prophetic voice now shattered the concept of chosen people and left that open to all people, all foreigners, everyone. The prophet says that the people of Israel must open their mindset. Thus says the Lord, "Maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed." According to Isaiah, living within God's covenant is to maintain justice and do what is right. This means that in the eyes of justice, there is no distinction among people, and each has the right to be called a child of God. The very nature of justice is that there cannot be any mindset of hatred or bitterness or bigotry. Such negativity would place not only limitation upon justice, but pronounce unfair and invalid verdicts. Isaiah goes on to say that those who may be foreign to this God of love need to hear that they are truly accepted when they profess their love of him and join in his covenant. Where he writes, the and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. All who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. You see, there is no distinction made of who these people may be. No one is left out. The door is left open for all to be that vital part of God's creation. Tragically, there are the extremists in our society who proclaim to be Christian, while at the same time excluding those of a different race, philosophy, or ethnic group. Their words of hate and exclusion deny the very essence of God's love. They deny the very words of the scripture as found in John's first letter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and whoever does not know God, for God is love. And then he further writes, those who say, I love you, God, and then hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters also. You see, we are all brothers and sisters of the human race, and each of us is important to the fabric of life. This means that we must always seek to enhance not only our lives, but the lives of each other through active compassion and love. Lip service to this central message of Scripture is just words which spew from the mouth and mean nothing unless there is a lifetime of action which gives meaning to these words. If words of love are spoken but acts of hate follow the words, then love is defiled and meaningless. The tragedy is that if the person really believes that they are Christian and proclaiming God's love and see hate as a welcome sign of this love, they have totally deceived themselves. They are no longer able to recognize the difference between good and evil. They no longer can see the beauty of God's creation as found within all of its living creatures. They have removed themselves from being a vital part of God's creative process. This morning, we have the awesome experience and privilege to experience not only the beauty and natural world around us, but the beauty of sharing our lives together with each other. This time of reflection helps us to realize that just as the natural landscape finds healing and new growth and the life through each participating part, so too we find healing and experience of living within it and with each other. We are not without hope. Just like those bloody battlefields were without the hope for a future new life of peace and tranquility, they were not without hope of seeing the beauty, creative process of God's peace and tranquility in later years. We sit surrounded by God's creation. Let this experience bring peace and calm to our lives. May it give us renewed strength to help bring this world to the beauty of God's love and not the dead-end street of hatred and bigotry. Therefore, we celebrate life with all of its diversity, and experience its beauty but never wavering from the love which conquers evil. We can never become complacent, but always need to actively strive to be that living member of life which confronts evil with good and overcomes hate with love. Amen. Amen.